he's going round again, a sailor with a broken wheel. His roads lead to Rome, put him on an even keel. Down, 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 down. Down, 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 down.
Hi, this is Carl Weinshank for the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break presents all music, regardless of era or genre. Please visit us at www.dailymusicbreak.com to hear some great music, get context, and get some free email newsletters as well. Today, we are very pleased to be speaking with the singer-songwriter Craig Van Kirk, who's speaking to us actually from Alaska today, which is pretty cool. So good morning, Craig. Good afternoon. I guess it's still good morning for you. How you doing?
Yes, good morning, Carl. It's still morning and dark up here.
It's morning and dark. What's the temperature?
Actually, it's very, very warm. It's about 36. We are having a lot of rain this week, and the snow has only come for one brief week, so it's definitely a warm winter.
Okay, well, we're not going to talk about global warming, though. So. where are you in Alaska, by the way?
Actually, I'm in the part of Alaska that should be Canada if it hadn't been for the Russians. I'm in Juneau.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, I'll look on a map and locate you later. Craig, could you tell us where folks can find some of your music?
Oh, absolutely. It's on the main website of mine, which is just very simply craigvankirk.com with all K's. All of my tunes are available there for streaming or download at no charge, and I have a big library of songs that I'm getting ready to record in the studio right now that will hopefully be posted slowly as the winter proceeds. So there'll be some new music coming down the pike in the next couple months.
Great. Well, we'll be on the lookout for that. I listened to your, things on YouTube. You're a great songwriter, great guitarist as well. In the little bio that you were kind enough to fill out for us, the questions that got sent to you, you mentioned a lot of really terrific people, Fairport Convention, John Fahey, Leo Kottke, and then some people like Pete Seeger. You a lot of different people. How do you describe, Craig, what you do? What's your self-description?
That's a good question, and I never know quite how to answer that. I definitely have a very strong thread through a lot of what I do coming out of traditional Celtic music, not so much in the feel of the music, but in the stories that get told through it. I have a lot of tunes. We're working on a script for a music video for a tune called The Queen of Elfland, which is the story of Thomas the Rhymer when he's taken under the hill by the Queen of Faery for 7 years, but it has a modern twist to it in the instance that for him, under the hill is the subway. And it'd be fun to film it in New York City or Washington, D.C. or somewhere, because we don't have any subways up here. But I guess what you would really say it is, it's singer-songwriter, simply because singer-songwriter is such a broad category, it can encompass anything. Mm-hmm. And so while I do have the songs that carry a strong mythic feel, I have other tunes that are concerned with, I have one called A Chorus of Stones, which is very much a Pete Seeger tune. Growing up listening to him, my mother ran a homeless shelter for 30 years, and a lot of that, the issues of social justice and Pete Seeger's enduring optimism, where he never gave up. He just said, well, we'll just have to deal with that now.
Right.
And I have a great admiration for that.
Right. So you consider, where does the guitar playing come in? You're a fine guitarist as well. Do you consider yourself a songwriter first, a guitar player? How do you mesh the two?
I would say I'm a songwriter first, because in my guitar playing is not where I would like it to be. I'm a big fan of Pierre Bensoussan over from France, and Leo Kottke and John Fahey, those guys set the bar pretty darn high. And so trying to keep up with him is difficult. I would call myself an accomplished guitarist at the point when I am able to express on the fretboard what I hear in my head, and when I am no longer limited by technical ability. Because there's still some times when I think, oh, that should sound like this, and I'm unable to bring it out on the fretboard.
Mm-hmm. that I guess people like Fahey were able to do it. Unfortunately, in his case, what he was hearing in his head probably wasn't so great, but he brought it to the guitar. So that's what you aspire to, and you still practice. You're still trying to get there, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in I play a lot in an alternate tuning called Dadgad, which is very popular among Celtic guitarists. And Pierre Bensoussan plays, I'd say, 95% of his material in that tuning. And so learning things in a tuning where you're able to express it as well as you can in standard tuning, and learning things in a tuning like Dadgad, which lends itself towards things being fingered in the key of D. There's another fingerstylist named Chris Proctor, whom I saw when I was in college, and he was a big inspiration because at that point I had no idea, I didn't know that people played the guitar that way. I had not heard of Leo Kottke at that point. Mm-hmm. And I saw Chris Proctor play as a freshman in college, and I thought, oh my God, look at what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And one of his things was to say that when you play in a key or in a tuning like open G, for example, he said you should learn to play not just in G, but you should learn to play in C and F and D in this open G tuning. Don't be limited by the openness of one key. And that was a real, that one struck me fairly hard. And so I do have some songs in this Dadgad tuning that are actually have a key of G fingering, and it lends for some interesting challenges, but it's definitely the creative way to go if the song demands it. Some songs are simple and they don't demand it, and if it doesn't demand a lot of fancy fingering, then don't put it in because it will get in the way. The song is a simple song and it demands to be what it is.
As a non-musician, I'm constantly amazed at the amount of variations in different ways you can play a guitar or I guess any instrument that is just very confusing to a non-musician, but it's all out there and you can take it. It's almost like the game of chess. You can play at a very basic level or you can take it to a level of unbelievable complexity, and it seems like a constant challenge.
I think that's a really good example, comparing it to a game of chess. Mm-hmm. And Pierre Bensoussan once said, he said, the audience doesn't care if you are, in essence, they don't care if you are Leo Kottke or if you're strumming three chords. What they care about is their emotional response to the song. And that is the core of what you are trying to do, is have an allow the audience the opportunity to have an emotional response to whatever it is you're playing. Right. And he said the real key is that ability, not whether you are a blazing finger stylist or strumming three chords. It's whether you can draw out that response.
Interesting. Now, here at the Daily Music Break, it's fairly rare that we interview musicians who have PhDs in statistical modeling of population dynamics. I mean, it happens, but
every
it's
now and then.
Rare. Now, what is that?
Well, in fisheries, there's a thing called stock assessment. And every time I say stock assessment, people think I mean the stock market in Wall Street.
Right.
A stock is just a population of fish,
right,
isolated by geography or genetics. Mm-hmm. And so there's this big thing called stock assessment modeling, where fisheries guys go out and we write computer models that analyze a population of fish, complete with the fisheries removals and natural mortality and predation and all that kind of stuff, to get an idea of what the population is doing so that we can then talk to the managers and say, all right, next year, here's the catch that the fishermen can take, or, oh, this is a population of concern because it's heavily fed on by sea lions, so maybe we should back off on the fishing because the sea lions are covered under the Endangered Species Act, and so on and so forth. So it's mm-hmm. it's sort of a natural resource. I don't want to say management because I never make the management calls. I just crunch the numbers. So, but that's what fishery stock assessment is. We write fisheries models.
So you figure out how many little fishies there's going to be in the future.
Well, yeah, with a wide degree of uncertainty, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
Now, you actively do that now?
Yeah, that's I I found myself as a single parent years and years ago, and I was not quite at the level where I was willing to take a little three-year-old girl in the car touring around the country. I actually had a friend who was in the same position, and she said, "Nope, we're going," and I have enormous admiration for her because she made it. She dragged this little kid around the country, and he's a great little kid, and she's settled in Missoula, Montana, and making the CDs and everything, and I was, wow, that's amazing. But I didn't do that, and so I had to have a day job. So I went back to graduate school and got this PhD, and while all my friends up here in Alaska going to graduate school were out diving under the ice in the Arctic to count baby fish, or they were darting polar bears from helicopters to take biological samples, I picked computer modeling because I couldn't go out to sea or out in the field for a long time because I had this little baby. So computer modeling, I can sit at home and crunch numbers and take care of my daughter. And so that's why I have this day job and I'm not gallivanting around the country, so to speak.
So is the world of music, I've always thought there's, not an original thought, there's this tremendous amount of mathematics and music, obviously. But is the world of making CDs, playing dates, making music, writing music, as different from the world of, the fish stockeries and the statistical modeling and all of that stuff as it seems? Or is it a little more similar than one might think if you put these two things in a piece of paper and handed them to an outsider?
Well, they're similar in that every job, no matter what it is, that you're going to have days where you're going to say, man, I don't want to do this. I'm going to go back to plumbing school or something. Every job has its days where you go, oh, I don't want to do this. And every job has the parts that you really love to do and the parts that are maybe not so much fun.
Right.
I think for me they're very different because I am not a gifted mathematician. My brother is a gifted mathematician. I am not. And so it's the stock assessment modeling is I have to be very, very careful when I do that. But the music requires much more fortitude and endurance in the face of just constant rejection, not because necessarily you're not any good, but because there are a million players out there and they're all extremely good, and finding the right niche and the right gig and the right place for the right player is very difficult. But the music for me is much easier because I guess that is where my natural inclination lies. In the old Calvin and Hobbes cartoon, Calvin says, "I must obey the inscrutable exhortations of my soul," which was, of course, to justify his bad behavior. But for me, playing the guitar and writing these songs, that goes deeper and to the core than doing the fishery stock assessment.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the music would be in a different world. Music might be a hobby for you, but you manage to get to a point where you can make some money doing it. So that's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and given the changing face of music these days, it's very difficult to know where we will all end up because with the prevalence of digital sharing and the slow fade, I don't know where CDs are going to end up because people still love to buy them. They love to take them away from the show. It's if they have a great time at the show and they get that CD and they take it home, they're taking their experience with them.
Right.
And digital downloads don't have the same effect, especially with any generation that's older than maybe 35.
Right.
My generation is not sitting there on the computer downloading music, and certainly my parents' generation isn't as much. But those folks tend to comprise the majority of my audience. And I wonder sometimes how the music world will develop so that artists can continue to make a living, maybe a modest living, but still make a living playing music in the face of a disappearance of much of the income that we used to depend on.
Right.
And I'm hoping that we can, because there's no doubt about it that if you have a day job and you're still trying to play music professionally, it's a definite challenge because you're going to be better if you spend 5 hours a day practicing and honing your songs and writing them, as opposed to coming home from work, you know, feeding your kid, making sure she's okay, and then going down into the music room for an hour or two if you can manage it. It definitely, the music definitely suffers for that. I hope we're not all headed for having to have day jobs to support ourselves. I don't think we will, but I wonder sometimes.
It's funny that the changes in the technology is a recurring theme as I talk to folks such as you. Since I've been doing this website for about 2.5, maybe 2¾ years, and the changes in technology ramifications pop up in all different ways. Another thing that pops up, and I don't know if this is new or something that I'm just learning about because I'm doing this site, but it's house concerts. It's people going to folks' houses and playing music, and maybe, you know, they have all their friends over. It's probably someone, you know, has a pretty big house and charge a certain amount of money per head. And, you know, someone told me they do as well as they do in a small gig, you know, a small, you know, club or something, and it generally doesn't have a lot of the hassles because you're dealing with
house concerts, I think, are absolutely fantastic, and they make up a majority of what I do in my situation. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the finances, absolutely, even in conditions where we don't actually charge a set, you know, price for folks to come in. We just have a jar in the corner and say, hey, this is our suggested donation. I have never walked away disappointed with the generosity of folks who come to house concerts. And I think house concerts are fantastic because they are a fundamental return to what we were doing for thousands of years before electricity came along.
Right.
And the house concert is the core of the human community. And so when people come to my house concerts, I love it when they bring the puppy dogs and the babies and everything else, because that's the human community.
Right.
And you know, when you're in the middle of your tearjerker love ballad and the baby cries, it's sometimes frustrating. But I would far prefer to have that than to say, oh, don't bring your kids. Oh, don't bring the puppy dog. I want all of those folks there because that's the core of what I think is important.
Well, and I could hear the Pete Seeger in you too there. Yeah.
Well, Pete, like I said, one of the greatest things about Pete Seeger was his, I'm sure he had days where he went home and looked at his wife and said, what a mess.
Right.
But Pete had this enduring optimism, and he never gave up. And he was continually just doing the work. And I'm so pleased that folks like Ani DeFranco consider Pete Seeger to be a mentor to them, because they can continue that work, and maybe we'll get to a place where, you know, we'll clean up all the rivers like he cleaned up the Hudson by sailing the Clearwater up and down the river.
Right. Beautiful. That's a great, I think, Pete Seeger is a great place to come to in the conversation, Cray. It's been really wonderful talking to you. If you could tell the folks again where to find your music, your website, and any other place it might be, that would be great.
Sure. The website is just very simple. It's just crayvankirk.com, K-R-A-Y, all with all K's. And they're welcome to go there and download and stream everything for free. Since I don't make CDs anymore, I give everything away for free over the website. And I don't have enormous social media, but I do have a Facebook page. They're welcome to come by and like the Facebook page. And they're free to share these songs, give them away, burn them, stream them. The only thing you can't do is charge money for them. Anything else is fair game.
Beautiful. That's terrific. And the next time I have salmon for dinner, I'll think of it.
Well, make sure it's Alaskan salmon and not farmed Atlantic salmon.
Actually, I burned some salmon the other night, so that's I'll try to do better next time.
No, you probably burned it just like I burn it all the time. I'm a very boring cook.
Well, you might have seen the salmon before. That's the
you never know.
You never know. You look familiar. Anyway, this has been very enjoyable, and this is Carl Weinschenk. At the Daily Music Break, offers music across all eras and genres. Please stop by at www.dailymusicbreak.com to hear some great music, get some context, and some free email newsletters. Take care, everybody. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
And on the desert sand, he feels the pull of ancient winds, and the whispered shout of God is in his ears. He's going round again, a sailor with a broken wheel. His roads lead to Rome, put him on an even keel. Down, 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 down. Down, down.